Hello friends, we are now on to the next chapter, that is chapter number 11 of Import-Export Management Regulatory Functions. And here we are now going to look at the sea shipments, that is carriage of the goods by sea, that is by ocean route. What you see over here is a container ship, small barge type ship being loaded through a wharf crane. The crane that you see over there is a crane on the wharf that is on the dock side, and that loads the containers. What is ship transport? First of all, let's understand that. It is any watercraft which can carry passengers or cargo. It can be over any distance, by boat, by ship, sailboat, by barge. It can be over large oceans. It can be over lakes. It can be over canals, over the rivers. Like you have our Ganga River, Ganges, you find movement of containers from Haldia port right up to Allahabad and Varanasi through the river route. Although the sea travel for passenger has decreased over a period of time. Why? Because air travel, that is aviation, has expanded and it has become comparatively cheaper and faster. It is of course not cheaper than sea travel, but looking to overall time factor, it is considered to be better. But for short distances and for pleasure cruises, you have nothing like a good sea travel. You must have seen large sea vessels which are better than 5-star, 7-star hotels. They've got facilities which are far, far better than one of the best hotels also. Of course, transport by water is cheaper than transport by air. There are very vast difference. Water transport constitutes somewhere around, depending on the type of goods, it is somewhere around 3-5% of the approximation value. And air transport is 20% or more than 20% of the value of a normal product. Overall, there are more than 50,000 ships which are trading internationally, and they transport every kind of cargo from one country to another. Recently, since quite some time, our metro rail, which is in operation, we had the metro rail bogies coming by ships. Some from Germany, some from France, some from Japan. And they were coming very easily from the sea route. Of course, one of the primary factors that the ships have got to be registered in certain nations. That is either their own nations or there are certain nations which give a general registration. The oldest one was, of course, Greek ships. But today, Panama is the biggest registering body for any ships. In India, we have got our Indian Registry of Ship. And there are manned by millions of people traveling not for pleasure, but on board the vessel, virtually guiding the vessels and all sorts of work on board the vessels. A multi-purpose ship or a general cargo ship is used to transport any variety of bulk commodities, either in break bulk like pulses and wheat, rice, etc. Or heavy cargoes, like I told you, the railway bogies or any type of large machinery item. And the ships are fitted with modern gears to lift heavy items. They don't depend on only the docks, wharf cranes, but they have their own gear and equipments for carrying containers, for loading grains, or maybe for fuel purposes, pipelines, etc. So that they can provide maximum flexibility in loading and unloading of cargo. Each ship will have very big holds right from bottom up to the top. And in between, they have got a midway twin deck. Cargo is carried at the bottom and on the twin deck. Once this is full, then certain heavy weight, more than heavy weight, it is large bulk cargoes are carried on top. And there are equipments to fasten those cargoes which are on top of the ship. Lashings and equipments for fastening the respective cargo. Break bulk cargo, bulk cargoes and tankers, oil tankers, project cargo, heavy lift, military equipment and any other, any size, any weight cargo, big or small, it can be carried either on a container ship or non-container ships. As far as seaborne trade is concerned, we find that even today 85 to 90% of all international trade is being carried through the sea route, and it continues to expand. But of course, the percentage may not expand, because as it is, the total volumes are expanding. And it gives a very good cost benefit as far as consumers are concerned, because the freight costs are very competitive. Because of the growing efficiency of the shipping, trade and transport as a whole, and of course, the increased economic liberalization, prospects for this industry has grown beyond bounds. There's nothing which can compare with them. A nation's strength is measured by the shipping fleet, that is merchant navy, merchant marine and merchant fleet, which consists of ships operated by civilian crews to transport passengers or cargo, or maybe even naval ships. They are all professionals. Even the civilian crews, they are professional merchant seamen, merchant sailors and merchant mariners, or ordinary seamen or sailor. These terms may refer to a member of a country's navy also. In any country, the navy is also equipped by these kind of people who are on board and moving the ships and all kind of work being carried on. As of now, since last few years, containerization has virtually changed the way world trade is carried on from one country to another. Shipping has been revolutionized world over. And there are special container ships. These ships are cargo ships that carry all their load in truck-size intermodal containers. Intermodal containers means a container which can be carried on board the ship, it can be carried on a truck, it can be carried on the railway also. And this technique of a combination of containers which can be carried by intermodal transportation is what is called containerization. container ship can be loaded within a matter of few hours, as compared to olden days where ships were required to wait for maybe 10 days, 15 days, or even 20 days at any country's docks to load the traditional cargo vessels. And prior to containerization, there were big gangs of men who had to spend hours fitting cargo, lifting, putting it into the cargo hold, fitting it properly into the holds or twin decks, or even lashing it on top. Today, you don't have large gangs, no. Labor costs has been cut down, and this in turn has reduced the shipping time as also the cost factor. Between various points, the time has been reduced to a great extent. That is, where in the past it used to take months for a consignment to reach from one end to the other end, today it takes hardly a few weeks for any container vessel to take cargo from India to any destination. India, Dubai, 4 days. India, Europe, 2 weeks. Any port in Europe, 2 weeks. India, America, 3 weeks. In the past, these were not weeks, but these were all months. Basically, the container ships are custom built to hold containers only on board the ships, whether inside the hold, in the twin deck, or on the upper deck. Even on the upper deck, they can be stacked up to 7 high, and large ships can hold thousands of containers. The largest container ships, which are in regular operation as of today, are capable of carrying in excess of 15,000 TEUs, that is 20-foot equivalent unit containers. Normally, ordinary vessels can carry 1,000 containers, 40-foot container, or 2,000 20-foot containers. That is a capacity of 2,000 TEUs. Capacity is always calculated on the basis of TEU, that is 20-foot equivalent unit. If it's a 40-foot container, then it's a FEU. And always, one FEU is equal to 2 TEUs. Capacity of the vessel is in terms of the TEU. When the entire bottom and twin deck is loaded, completed, then it is covered. On top of the cover, containers are again stacked. Largest ships, you can measure 400 meters in length, and they carry cargo equal to the capacity of 16 to 17 World War types of freighter ships. That is, those days, World War days, the ships were really very small. And today's large ships can carry 15 or 16 of those ships on board. And the cranes which are installed on the wharf or on the ship, they are used to place the containers on board the ship, stack them up properly. Well, you see this. This is a very large container carrier, normally called VLCC. It is one of the largest ship carrying containers. As you can see, that containers are carried on top also, up to a height of 6 to 7. Let's understand what these containers are. The intermodal container is a standardized reusable steel box. Nowadays, you find aluminum boxes also, no doubt, but basically they were steel boxes even still in use today. They are used for safe efficient and secure storage and movement of material and products within the entire global containerized intermodal freight transport system totally. Each container has a unique ISO mark. That is a standardization of the containers. The length of the container may vary from 8 foot to 56 foot and height from 8 foot to 9 foot or 9.6, that is 9 feet 6 inches. Of course, today you don't have 8 feet containers. In the past, we had 8 feet containers. Why? Because the railways used to carry 8 foot containers. And the ships were also trying to accommodate the railways boxes directly. But that didn't work out. It was not found feasible by the ships. And therefore, then we had standardized 20 foot containers. In between, there were 35 feet containers also. But that was also not found to be a standardized method. So the standardization was 20 foot and 40 foot, that is TEU, and one TEU is equal, one FEU is equal to two TEU, that is the normal standard. The breadth is 20 feet or 40 feet. Height is 8 to 9.5 feet. Width is 8 feet. 8 feet is standard. This is the method of standardized multimodal or intermodal container, which can be used again and again for all import and export cargo. A typical container will have doors fitted at one end and is constructed of corrugated steel. Each of the 8 corners, there are castings with openings for twist locking system. That means bottom container, the lock will be pushed up, and the top container, there is a hole, twist lock, they will be fastened to each other by that twist lock fasteners, so that both the containers, they hold themselves in place. There are fixed 8 corners, 8 openings. These units can be secured during handling and in transit also using such type of twist lock, which are located at the corners. And each container has got a allocated standardized ISO reporting mark. Of course, there are many different types of material being used to stabilize and secure the container or the cargo in the multimodal container. That means if there are odd size packages going inside the container, then the blank space, if it is left as blank, then the cargo will move and it will damage the container as well as the cargo. Therefore, the blank space is filled and the cargo inside is either secured to the bottom or the sides, or at the sides there are dunnages put which stabilize the material. Conventional methods to restrain the cargo is always steel strapping or wood blocking at the bottom. But nowadays you have got very strong polyester strapping and lashing or synthetic webs also. Plus, for loose type of cargo, there are dunnage bags or airbags. Dunnage bags or airbags. Now, these type of bags can be used for carrying your cargo like wheat, pulses, etc. But they can also be used to fill up the side gaps by blowing air inside it, so that the sides are held, cargo is held in place and it does not move when the ship rolls while going out into the sea. Containers can be transported by these ships, by semi-trailer trucks and freight trains as a part of a single journey. And such type of transportation is known as intermodal or comodal or multimodal transportation. They form a common means of commercial intermodal freight transport movement. And this has revolutionized as on-time guaranteed delivery and just-in-time manufacturing due to this type of movement of containers. Raw materials arrive in the factories in sealed containers less than an hour before they are required to manufacture, resulting in reduced inventory cost to the manufacturers as a whole. That is the biggest plus point that containerization has given to the trade. It has lowered shipping cost, decreased shipping time, and in turn, it has helped the growth of all international trade. Exporters nowadays will load their entire cargo or merchandise in boxes that are provided by the shipping company at their factory or their own warehouse. And then they are delivered to the dock either by road or by rail or maybe a combination of both, and ultimately from the wharf loaded onto the container ships. This has resulted in less breakage, less damage to the cargo because of reduced handling. And damage is less because shifting during voyage does not take place. There is a single movement of the container. As containers are sealed and only opened at the destination, sealed by the factory owner over here, opened at the destination by the consignee over there. Therefore, concept of pilferage and theft does not arise. It's very reduced level, very rare that you find that there is a pilferage or a theft or damage to the cargo. The major benefits that we see as far as containerization is concerned, one, door-to-door shipment from the exporter's door to the importer's door directly. This has reduced the freight cost, this has reduced the damage and pilferages, and eliminated all intermediate handling of the packages, not the container. Container intermediate handling is there, but packages, no. And of course, higher productivity as far as labor is concerned, because they don't have to waste their time handling small packages. Then there is lesser documentation. There's reduced warehousing and inventory costs for both the exporter and the importer. And better utilization of capital equipment through uniformity of the cargo movement. And above all, environmental control. No breakage. Environmental control is always there because such type of steel containers are very clean as far as their movement is concerned. Of course, anything which has got certain plus points has also got certain negative points. One of the biggest negative point of containerization is that all cargo cannot be containerized. Heavy capital investment in equipment is also required for containerization. The minimum tonnage of any crane or forklift that is lifting the container should be not less than 20 to 25 tons. So they are heavy capital equipments. And then it's very difficult to trust the liability as far as the goods are concerned, because there are several carriers, maybe from road to rail to ship, again to road, again to rail, and no intermediate inspection is being done. Then at certain ports, proper equipment to handle containers may not be available. That's why the ship itself has got their own equipment to load and unload. And of course, this system is not at all comfortable with air freight or air cargo. Look at the type of containers. There's a 20-foot standard, 20-foot open top, 20-foot flat rack. This is a flat rack on which all size packages are kept. Then 20-foot flat rack where the sides can be collapsed so that empty container movement is possible. Then there are only 20-foot platforms only, only basic platform, no side issues are there. Such type of platform is used for what you call heavy bulk cargo, which is of odd size. Then there are 20-foot refrigerators, 20-foot bulk cargo, 20-footer tank cargo. Then same way you have got 40-footer standardized, 40-footer high cube. High cube means height is not 8 feet, height is 9 feet or 9.5 feet. Maybe 8.5 also possible. Then 40-foot open top, that means top is open where cargo can be put from top and then a tarpaulin is placed on top. Then 40-foot flat rack collapsible, then platform, and of course 40-foot refrigerated cargo also. These are the different types of containers being used. But as you must be observing, standardization is 20-footer and 40-footer. This is a standard container and you can see at the side there are holes for the forklift to lift it. At the corners, if you will observe, there are small holes at the bottom and at the top at all the 8 corners where twist lock can be placed. This is the front part where this door can be opened in a two-way fashion and then both can be locked together, they can be sealed. As far as international cargo movement is concerned, these containers are sealed, seal lock is possible. This is the inside of a container. It is looking deep. You can stuff cargo, forklift can go right inside the container. Here you see forklift is loading cargo and outside packages, outside packages into the container. Different types of cargo, different sizes of cargo being stuffed and loaded on the container. When we look at the shipping cost as such, the amount that the carrier charges for transporting the cargo is known as the freight rate. In addition to the freight rate, the carrier can also collect other charges like PAF or CAF, or that is currency adjustment factor, or the fuel rate, because in the past the cost of the fuel being used by the ship was increasing very fast. So we had PAF factor, then there was a THC or terminal handling charges, and in case it passes through some war risk area, then there is a war risk premium, there is a piracy surcharge, and there may be a container sealing fees or electronic release cargo fees, and in case of late delivery or movement of container, late fees and damages also. These freight rates can be obtained by through either a custom broker or an agent or a freight broker or ship broker. In some cases, the liner ships. Now, let me explain to you liner ships. Liner ships are those ships which follow a regular pattern of movement from one port, duly declared pattern, port one, next port, third port. It is announced in advance that this ship will go this port, this port, this port, this port, and again come back over here. So that's a standard liner movement. And such liner sector ships or shipping companies, they give notice of the freight rates in traditional, publish it in newspapers or maybe online also they are published. Quotation sometimes is also given through the internet nowadays, that's the fastest mode. Some ship brokers, they can calculate on their own and then they maintain their own published indices, which gives an indication over this period this would be the approximate freight depending on the market performance, etc. Of course, as far as our Indian customs is concerned, or for that matter, any country's customs are concerned, because these ships carry international cargo, import and export, all the customs will always have regulatory controls. And for this purpose, the enforcing provisions of the Customs Act 1962 is that all conveyances carrying import-export cargo are subject to the control of the officers of customs. This act, of course, allows the captain of the ship, because responsibility is the captain, and it allows the captain to appoint an agent at the respective port where they want to load or unload cargo. And that agent, duly appointed by the captain, will perform all other regulatory functions of the customs department on behalf of the captain. The agent will also be liable for fulfillment of any obligation imposed on any of the ship's crew or captain, or the ship as a whole, for non-performance of certain required duties. And the ship's agent would be responsible to penalties and confiscations which may be incurred, pay up on behalf of the captain of the ship. Specifically, the captain of the ship or master of the vessel, they have got to perform specific functions under the Customs Act 1962. Number one, he has to land the conveyance only at a customs port after arrival in India. He has got to deliver through Indian Customs Electronic Services an arrival or import manifest, or departure and export manifest, to the customs officer, a passenger and crew list, and the details of all the import-export cargo carried by him. He has to ensure that the import goods are unloaded and export goods are loaded only at the customs nominated place, after permission is granted by the custom officer. Unless and until the custom officer does not grant permission to the ship to unload the cargo or load export cargo, the captain should not do it. He has to allow custom officer to board the conveyance, check documents, ask the officers to submit certain documents and maybe go through the ship, ask questions, etc. And he has got to ensure, the captain has got to ensure, that his ship cannot go out of the port once it has entered the port without a written order given by the customs officer. He is a very senior officer who looks after the loading, unloading of the cargo, etc., and all other aspects as far as the ship is concerned. So, unless and until a written order is issued by the customs officer, the ship cannot leave the port. Thank you.